Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
the 1 to trillion scale universe or galaxy idea. Now, I've just come out from a meeting. I'm sort of travelling late to meet my wife, so which is sort of like, this is absolute disaster. And I'm sitting here at a red light, but I'm going to talk about the 1 to trillion scale galaxy, where why 1 trillion is a fantastic scale. So if you have 1 to the trillion scale, a 1 to the trillion scale, 10 kilometers equals 1 light year. And also at the 1 to trillion scale, the sun is the size of a 1 millimeter bead. So the other sun, our nearest sun, is 41 kilometers from our location in Glenbrook. So this gives you a scale factor that if you set your sun anywhere, you can then go around the planet to different, our Earth, to different distances, and at that scale locate stars. So in this idea is that you convert the entire galaxy into a museum. Sorry, not the entire, the entire planet is a galaxy of our museum. I'm saying that wrong, isn't it? Our entire planet is a museum of our galaxy. How? Isn't that stupid? I've got A is B is C. I can do every combination to get that right. Now, I just happened to listen to the Linden Observatory, which is a beautiful old observatory up in the Blue Mountains. It's absolutely historic and very close, and it's one of these sort of a dark sky place just in the middle of Sydney almost, or a little bit of a tour out there. Fantastic thing, and there's three old trustees. So I just went to a museum meeting, and there is an overall problem that the museums have people and they're all dying. Everyone, all these very old situations, there are the old beautiful people who stretch back 20 years of service, but they're now popping off the place. And so you have a lot of problems that the people involved in these museums, they do have a problem that a lot of their key people are dying, and the demands of government to have plans and do all these fairly complicated things are extremely complicated for them. And so is true for the Linden Observatory, which is basically a museum. So I just quietly said to the chap here, what do you think of this particular idea and how we can link it into the Linden Observatory? And the two ideas, sort of twin ideas, is one, expanding our universe, the museum, into two different spaces. One, a space which covers the entire surface of the planet and links it all together. Then the other one is virtual reality, which goes through. Now, one of the things is that this is an idea, and people have heard me discuss it a bit more. So it started off basically saying, well, for a situation where I say that yeah, 1 millimeter equals 1,000 light years. So a small pancake 10 millimeters across will be the size of our galaxy. Our galaxy is 100,000 light years, 100 millimeters across. And so you can make a pancake and you can actually do an activity on that scale. So this is the advantage of why we have things at scale, is to have them accessible. Now, not all things are... So the reason we have a map is it's a representation which I can fold up and take away with me. And I can therefore do comparisons, which would be hard to do at scale. So it's hard to imagine numerically how far away Alpha Centauri is. I can think of the amount of time, how long it would take me to walk there, and you know, if I could ever get there, how many generations it would take me to actually walk there. That's one way, which is a conceptual map, or I can actually have a physical scale map. And going there, the physical scale map has to be something that you either use directly or linked to an activity. So the pancake one, which is different from the trillion one, that's 1 millimeter equals 1,000 light years, is something that you use to have a fun school activity and get ideas across. Now, of course, a larger scale representation is the trillion one. The trillion, anything which is different by a factor of a decimal amount, means that the metrics work really well. So if I have a metric star distance of the petameter, it's a lot better than a light year. A light year is really the ancient idea of, I don't know, it's just that the ancients didn't have an idea of speed or velocity, because time and distance were completely separate things. And so so a distance, a light year, is the distance travelled by light in a year. That had the concept of a light year as being a distance. So it's 3 days' walk to the nearest village. But they would have a distance of walking, a time unit of distance, and a distance measure of distance. They wouldn't have a distance of speed. So very much a light year is sort of an ancient way of describing things. And it does tell you very much this link between distance and time. So it's very much used, but it's not a modern value as we understand it. Now just checking across. Oh God, I'm going to get in trouble. An hour and 4 minutes. Yeah, so I'm just concerned about being late home. I'll be in so much trouble. And of course, I don't want to get a speeding fine as well. Doing all this, there's nothing I can really worry about. Okay, so there's this fundamental 1 to a trillion scale. And 1 to a trillion scale as 1 millimeter equals 1,000 light years leads to baking. 1 to a trillion scale leads to a road trip. And a road trip, whereas eating is a social thing, a road trip is a social thing in a family. So your family can hop in the car at Glenbrook and drive all the way to Blackheath, and there you go. And where else? Well, we can drive to Avoca Beach for the other thing, and there I could drive, and notionally drive there, and then you'd realise that you travel all this distance, and there's a hell of a lot of space not being there, from doing it. So you've got a scale, comprehensibility, and activity. You've got the combination of those two together. Now, almost parallel to this is the activity of putting forward an idea. And essentially, as a salesman, you're not all that sure of the quality of your product. There's competition for your product, and there's whether you can get in and sell your vacuum cleaner before Dyson comes into the city, that type of thing. The idea that your idea is ephemeral. Whereas in science, if you actually do the work correct, and the equation says, yes, this is it. So in this case, the maths are that the petameter, 10 petameters equals the light year, is roughly correct. That's good enough, and you've got all the actual blocks are there. You're in a different department. You know, you've got confidence of your idea, and then if things don't work, you can't improve the idea. The idea is fixed. It can gradually mature, or I just don't think what you do to wine. It can ferment. The idea can ferment. It can go through processes. But the idea itself, the ingredients are there. It's sort of like you've picked the premium grapes and you've picked it and you put it in a bottle. Fucking around with it, it's no longer going to be any good. You want to leave it in the shelf and let it go alone. The thing is whether people aren't buying it. It's to do with labelling, marketing and stuff like that.
We found a faster route via Hawkesbury Road, which saves 4 minutes. If you'd prefer to stay on the current route, tap no. Thanks.
No, thanks. Sorry, this is my little microphone. Did you say no thanks? Oh, no thanks. Oh, this taps no thanks, you little bastard. Okay. Although that 4 minutes will be an absolutely vital 4 minutes in my bloody life. Look, we're sort of going back in here in terms of that trying to work out what to do with an idea. Whereas I've got a road trip and stuff like that. Basically, if the actual concept of the road trip or the concept of your pancake scale is good, you can with confidence proceed eventually down this track. It gives you the confidence that's right. So if you take a wrong turn or you got to attempt it at a different date, you can set it off. It's sort of like an idea is like a family holiday. You have a family holiday, you've only got so much money, the kids are going so far, but you know that you hear that the actual beach further up, it gets booked out early, but it's a family beach and all that type of stuff. You don't not go on your holiday, you don't stop everything. You go on your holiday, and for next year you know that you'll save a bit more money and you book up. And this is sort of like this idea. You tell the idea, you know the idea is fundamentally good. You're a scientist, you've done the maths, they don't know the maths, and they come back with you with a comment. This idea won't go across because I don't understand it. No one's going to pick it up. It's going to be... They give information which points to areas of your working which are conjectures, and you've gone through it, and you don't show the fact that you're a lunatic to them by saying, "Ugh." You say, "Thank you very much." Take it away. Oh, fuck, what's going on? There is a howling wind. My godfather. Thank goodness it's absolutely freezing up in Katoomba, but where it's hot down there. So just these fairly big branches were blowing across the road. It's quite dramatic to see. I just hope that our house is okay. This is... Whoa! I hope I don't die in this podcast. You know the idea is going across. And so that's essentially what I've done. I've printed it up and then done a bit of fermentation, get the signage correct, get the idea of a road trip, a road sign. If you put a road sign... Oh, did you hear that? That was a branch smashing, blowing and smashing against the windscreen. This gives you an idea how... Okay, so branches normally fall off a tree and go to the ground. This one, the winds are so hard here, the branches are travelling at what, 60? Oh my godfather! Oh, she was, in terms of huge winds, I don't know whether I can actually see a tornado in Sydney. I'll just have another look. There's definitely a large dust storm blowing up in the middle of Sydney, so we'll see how that goes. Whoops. Going down to Falcon Bridge. So we're going across 56 minutes to Doom. Okay, 42. That's four from. I'm not going to be happy. Okay, so getting back to it, so with me going, oh, bloody hell, sorry for all these gaps in this podcast. So I know it's there and I'm able to...
500 meters, continue straight to stay on Great Western Highway.
Thank you very much. I've been fermenting the idea. So this is one of the great things, is that if you reject the idea, the rejecting idea gives you... information about rejection, about the complexity of getting the idea across. So you can still get the idea across, but it takes a certain amount of effort. You can then optimize it. So I was able to actually quickly show the distances that people were easily able to understand the distances and go across here. Now, in terms of fermentation, there's these things. What about distances that are greater than the circumference of the Earth, the person asked? You go around several times. So you can get basically any star you want mapped. Then there's discussion about what does the star like in the scale? What does the star, is the city, what size would it be? There's one size, the size of a large exercise ball. So I'm going down here. This is Falcon Bridge, 60 kilometres out. Okay, so... Oh, no. Come on. I've got this bus, which is doing a very sensible thing. There's a red light and it's slowly easing up. It's also doing a sensible thing because it knows that there's a large truck slowly accelerating upwards from Falcon Bridge. We're getting a running commentary across here. So that's a fermentation thing. So fermentation one is proper signage, and even little things like actually finding the font on the internet and downloading it to do road signs. Far out, this gives me the shits. Sorry, I'm just travelling past this very large, heavy truck. Perhaps you might be able to hear it coming across. And we're doing it a corner, so I just can't wait to get ahead of it. Out you go. So, the signage, the colouring of the signage, to identify the actual green, the RG, or whatever it is, the different green colouring of the sign, the font and directions and the differences between signs, old signs and new signs, and signs in New South Wales and signs in Victoria. All these very subtle things go across. Then the fermentation, I've said, of what about things which are further than the circumference of the Earth around at the scale, trillion scale, well, it goes several times. Then we come across the other thing about, well, if I had another model, a completely another model, one to a trillion scale, and shrunk the galaxy down by a factor of a trillion, how big would it be? So, one to a trillion, one light year equals 10 kilometers. 100,000 light years is a million kilometers across. A million kilometers across, it would fit neatly, with not much oversight, neatly inside the sun. Not so it would shake around, just inside the sun. So I could, for this trillion scale thing, where the nearest star is 40 kilometers across, the surface of the entire galaxy, this is just trying to get into it, would be inside the sun. So you've got all these. So this is a sun, so you can point up and say there's the sun. So this is all things rather neatly sitting together. And what you need is someone's rejection of an idea. I think, I don't know whether it's incremental, it's instinctive. I think I think people instinctively say no to an idea. I don't know why they say, oh, if I saw it, I thought, oh, this is a brilliant idea. Perhaps I have certain things I don't know about. I've got an instinctive... Someone says, look, there's a new food supplement and it's really great. I've done the research for it. People would say there is... The way of saying there no is another way of saying I'm ignorant. Now, to that, there's nothing you can do. All you can do is actually respond and actually grow things incrementally. So from this... From the pancake came the trillion. From the trillion came the road sign, road trip, multiple orbits around planets, socialization of it. And then from that came the scale of there to pull these things away. Now, the thing is that a map requires an investment in it. So at a particular point in time, a map is just like a kitten or something. It could be used as toilet paper or something to scrunch up. A map takes a certain amount of investment, but if you invest it, you actually enter the world of a map. And so what we really want to do is that you enter this world, and you can go on a road trip, and you can anything that you understand becomes a community. And in essence, people rejecting it is just observing that there is no community yet about it. And then how does one grow a community? Well, it requires building a relationship, and building a relationship requires a period of time to do. And just quietly there, when people are able to pick ideas up. And so essentially there's this entire this almost seems to be another aspect of it, is that when people have ignorance for no, and then for almost, if your idea is the idea sitting there and someone doesn't have know what they're saying and they want to fill space, they'll fill it a bit. So we were at this meeting and the idea immediately was, sit over here, I'm keeping you under control, as long as I don't say anything. Immediately alerted the other people at the meeting that I probably did have something quite valuable to say. The president of the museum society just talked across, and his idea is that because we don't have a physical space, we're going to build a virtual space, which was not something that I was pushing. It was something that my observation that what do you do in this situation? What can you actually do? Now, this is another idea which sort of came up, is that the idea of a history museum in a ute, the walking stuff, and be able to actually pull across. And these little insights, so the idea of your museum's not in a building, but it's in the back of a ute, and you turn up for a walk, and the ute opens up. Now, the idea, now you can see how sometimes you can't actually walk, you can't sensibly take a walk in the Blue Mountains at certain days. So I think I've been the last talk walk I decided I'd go and look at. It was blown out, and today it would also be blown out. Now, I'm sure other countries have as much wind. The problem is that Australian trees are they're very flammable, and they also tend to crack and break under wind. And so you get people dying and bits of winds going out. It's almost eye-watering to see some of the trees here bending over. Look, like it's seriously say the base of the tree only moves 3 degrees, but I can see the top, some of the branches and stuff moving a good 30 degrees from where they should be. So it's quite a strong wind. Now, of course, with termites and dryness, then you've got the other aspects of Australian trees, is that they're putting, and they've only recently discovered this, there was the thought that oils, the eucalyptus oil, was a insect deterrent. Oh my God, Father, this is not too good. A insect deterrent. But so it turns out that there's an oil which then floats up in the atmosphere and then with extreme heat and sunlight cracks to form a eucalyptus smog. So eucalyptus oil by itself is see-through, but when the ultraviolet light acts with it, it cracks. And when it cracks, there's a carbon nucleation point, and you guessed it, it brings rain to our rainforest. So in these very dry conditions, eucalyptus oil is sort of just saying, desperate, rain on me. So there you go in the Blue Mountains. So the combination, of course, eucalyptus oil is sort of like shrouding it in a fuel. It's basically the eucalyptus trees act like fuel injectors, and people do describe bushfires which rush through areas traveling at the speed of a train, definitely 50 kilometers an hour beyond at speed, and this huge roar of fuel going up. And it's a bit like a catastrophic fire. The flame goes across, and the heat is intense. So at a certain point, you don't have embers going forward creating a fire. The actual heat of the fire actually is enough to cause the next things to burst into flames. And so you've got various curtains, flame-resistant curtains, that if you don't draw them, the heat will go through the window and actually cause things inside the house to catch a light just due to the sheer heat. And there was a recent thing in Victoria, or the black whatever it is, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, come on, bastard, come along. And it was so hot that it melted a kiln. So a kiln is quite a hot thing. The people had pottery. It was so hot, it actually melted the stuff inside the kiln. So that gives you an idea. And of course, people think, oh, you can jump into your local water tank. It actually boils the water of the water tank. Just to give you some idea of the ferocity. And of course, the Australian fires are bloody big. They're bigger than the US ones. And the fires in the Amazon got all the news, but the Australian fires were bigger by a country mile, and the pollution from them, the smoke from them, went round the earth. Obviously, half. It doesn't go around the earth several times as it does with the other things. So it's pretty strict. Okay, so we're getting back now. Sorry, I described that. You're getting a version of the two together. We've got the two things of the management of an idea when you don't have all support. You know, you're looking at it, you don't have all support to do it. Sort of like DIY things. The idea is that you do house renovations for ideas. My idea is that, or my parallel is that whereas ideas from a company with a corporation, they have a certain production process to help getting the car, the car or product or whatever they're producing out the door, another one produced. That's what they do. And so everything's aligned to getting it out. But if you want to be a hobbyist and make your own car, your own car or whatever, or cross, there's not the same thing. There's the ability to shut down, think, and make be able to get things done eventually at a low knowledge environment. So I've got a low knowledge about exactly what door to knock on, how to actually make it. I don't have the actual resources. I'll get, oh my God, the lights are blacked out here. Okay, just have a look. It's not looking good. That's dangerous. So that will be the wind. Knocked it down there. Let's see if the lights are on here. Going across. Okay, 41 minutes. Roger. That's not going to look good. Not a good look. I'll be a full hour late. So, just getting back to it, we're at a process, a thing where we've got a model for the galaxy, a museum idea for the galaxy, and I'm now sort of setting back, and it's quite interesting in terms of that I do have a model of basically... the idea is that people can... this is a sort of step back a few steps. There is this model of a museum for the entire galaxy that wraps around the Earth, and it's a process to step forward. And the idea of people get validation for how well their idea is accepted and goes forward, versus people, the scientists, who can actually prove and test an idea in a laboratory. But there's two aspects coming across here. I think this is a bloody hearse ahead. It's going a bit slow. I often say, oh, look, this car is travelling at a funereal pace. And indeed, it is actually a funeral going past. Okay, now what is this? Okay, this is going to set me up. This going across here. There's my model for it is that you've got two things. You can either get... you've got two aspects to it. One is the idea has to work itself, and then it has to be socially acceptable. Now, a lot of people have no idea that the world... works, and they get by actually putting things socially acceptable up, and you know, people, you know, investing things and gets that checked out. Now, it's something socially acceptable. I have these four layers. So you do something, and society has to do this conversion. It has to take individual effort, such that somehow that individual effort leads to a collective good. So if we all did individual efforts and none of it led to a collective good, we wouldn't achieve a collective good. Society would fall apart. So this is a fundamental premise that society operates with this mathematical truth that somehow, in order for something to be valued, you have to do something unusual, and that unusual, something which is not necessarily good for you, but you have to put that into a big social engine that has to get collective good tick off, and you get resources to yourself. So often people get lost and actually start doing unproductive stuff and getting collective good, you know, get resources from it. And we seem to have a sort of a parasitic view that you actually make it. If you can actually not do anything and get paid for it, you're extremely well off. It's extremely, extremely good. So that's process there. So you've got a society, and I have a four-level area of society. Initially, when you do something in the contrast of a small group of people around that with which you do it. And that small group of people operate within a small system. And that system has two aspects of it. One interprets what you do and filters it and slots it into some productive aspect of the small area that you operate in. So that interpreting what you're doing and interpreting the world and matching it together, that's a filtering aspect. So that's a small F filtering. Now, in order to do to get that on match, so that's a process, there's got to be something behind that, which is an analysis. This is, given what your filtering is, very close thing is a small A analysis. So you put what you do in this process, and analysis pushes what you do into the filtering. And so if you can imagine that your small company is working there, it's working to an analyzed business plan. And the analyzed business plan says that what you do gets filtered. My God, Father, the wind is actually getting quite rough here, even here. So there's this process here. So I know if you can imagine it. We've got this idea of things that you do in society being worthwhile. So things that you do being worthwhile, it has to be understood. There's got to be some sort of process where what you do is processed, is directed and then processed. And that direction and processing, the actual process itself is the filter, but the actual methodology and the concepts behind what that filter is the analysis. So this is how it really gets really, really tight and small. So you've got your filter and your analysis operating in close proximity. Then you've got this process repeated again at a very much larger scale. So you've now got aggregated activity, which has gone into a filter and driven by analysis. You've got several people working together, working to the same filter in the same analysis as a local region. Then you've got different groups, and you have to do exactly the same thing again. But what actually happens here is that these people go into a big F filter, which I think is the political overscape, the political synopsis of what's going on. And people sort of get described. So we've been told to produce these various things, which allow the analysis to happen, to work out what we do, get some value into this big F filter. So big F filter might be a grant program. Oh God, that might be a grant program. 32 minutes, 206, I am Cactus. Working along here. Okay, so let's step back. You've got sort of a dipole of if I want to do something productive, it has to be intrinsically productive and extrinsically productive. Intrinsically productive is a mathematically defined thing. Now, people can do something without knowledge, without that ability, so they can outsource their knowledge of something is intrinsic. They can actually get paid to do something, specified to do something, and then they can say, well, look, I built this brick wall to your specification, buy here, pay me up. And that is, they've outsourced the intrinsic value of it, of doing something. And then so that they can ask for it. Or you could be a scientist and you can actually do that evaluation integral to yourself. Then you've got to go externalize it. It has to be valued and pushed into a system. So it has to be put of value into a system where it's assessed to be valued, and the assessment to be valued is run by an analysis process or a high thinking. Oh, don't give me the shits. I hate this thing. I'm sort of driving this. Process here. So we've got what you do gets pushed in between this analysis filter field. So it drives your value forward, and that process then in that localized process secretes value back to you, which closes the loop, which means that you get paid for doing productive stuff. As I said before, that this operates on a small scale, then it's got to be operated on a much larger scale. So you get the big F filters. Big F filters would be the politicians who argue together and set the laws, set the overall operating conditions. So they receive an analysis, and it's very important that there seems to be a break between the small s, small a process and big A analysis. Big A analysis sits outside speaking to big F to actually drive and push this in a direction. And one of the most important things is that your big A analysis can't be, parochial. It can't be an interest group stuff. It's got to be honest broker, disinterested analysis. Otherwise, the entire thing is, you want the steering of it to be actually done a little bit by big F, a little bit by analysis, but you definitely don't want someone, the small f, small a, going, because that will actually take it over. So say if I'm running an ice cream shop who sells ice cream, sure, I would like people to analyze and think that ice cream is the solution to everything and we should buy more ice cream. That is indeed a solution, but it's not a big analysis solution. Sure, and so essentially you have to have your analysis being such that for people to accept it, they have to believe the analysis is free from perturbation from the interest groups. Does that sort of make sense? So you've got all this is coming together, and this process has to run its course, and a lot of people become stressed because they don't have an overview, that they see their actual role in the process as integral. They see they have this sort of funny way of doing it. I don't know quite how you actually do.
In 3 kilometres, take the Walgrove Road exit towards Eastern Creek, Rooty Hill.
Okay, we'll see that. And we've got 26 minutes to get to there. Okay, so you've got this fairly complicated process. I'm just going to slowly drift over here. This complex process, which has a system of doing it. It has, there's a lot of moving parts. A lot of people have got interest in it. Very few people have long-term overview interests. And even if they did, they're probably not in a position to action it. So there's only critical people who can action it. And in this market mechanism, you have to get to a point where you have a product and people can offer a small amount of money and it can take off. Before that, it's in incubation stage. And so it almost behaves, it's sort of like anything. Once you say if you're a heart doctor and you do know the risk of doing a particular thing, eating a particular food, it raises the ethical question.
Take the Wool Grove Road exit towards Eastern Creek, Broody Hill.
Yeah, just have a look. Yeah, so for instance, if you are a doctor.
Take the Wool Grove Road exit, then keep left at the fork.
There is debate about whether you should have your knowledge and use it to intervene. Now, the people can argue it's the end of time, or for a long time, about at what point your responsibilities kick in. Now, if you are in a situation where you have no knowledge of this, no knowledge of health and stuff like that, very few people would argue that you have a responsibility to become knowledgeable. Now,
continue for 2 kilometres.
Okay, I'm just looking at where we're going. Just check here. Look, I might stop this podcast because it's actually getting really complex. Oh, I'm sure this is not the right way.
Continue on A44 for 1.5 kilometres.
Okay, look, I'm going to have to stop now because this is getting incredibly complicated. I just hope that you can overall understand that there is a deeper obligation of with people once they have done their MBA and once they have been through a process of understanding to be respectful of. I mean, ultimately, you have to be respectful of your own knowledge and hold it there for when they respectfully want to know. Okay, I'm going to stop now and concentrate on getting this last 23 minutes of the journey.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.